So what we're going to do next week, in honor of Walker drinking the Dan Campbell coffee, is we're all going to take Red Bull and Benadryl, and we're going to podcast and see how that goes.
No. I will not be doing any of that. Most certainly not.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Before we get started, just want to give you folks a little tip off the top. What you're going to want to do at all of your fantasy drafts is make Red Bulls with Benadryl, folks. Take it from me. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I've been watching the last phase the phase before Marvel, where like Fantastic Four first steps and Thunderbolts and
all that
Daredevil
stuff.
Yeah, I'm watching it completely out of order, so that's not good, but yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Well, completely coincidental, I finished my entire Marvel rewatch. I was doing a rewatch that included like everything made by Marvel since 2000-ish, plus things like Howard the Duck that connected to the MCU. It was 678 hours.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I watched it all.
I watched Howard the Duck.
Huh? Yeah.
I saw that in the theaters.
That shit was wild. I have barely any memory of it. I was watching it on a Saturday night and I was like falling asleep. I was like, what is this movie? Spider-Noir, not great, but pretty good for a Lamorne Morris Nick Cage impression in the last episode. Worth it all for that. Walker, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Just very ready for this episode. I think I'm going to impress the sharks with my arguments.
Dang, what are you, I don't know what impresses sharks. What are you, a dang pod of orcas impressing sharks?
Sure, that sounds right.
There you go. All right, so Walker teased it, and if you read the episode title, it's our annual Hello Sharks episode. Hello Sharks. So much like Shark Tank, or I think in England it's called like Dragon's Lair or something, which is cool as hell. What is Shark Tank called in England? It is called Dragon's Den. Let's go, baby.
Oh, just like Canada. Okay.
Yeah. Walker said, oh, dot, 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 Canada. This MF loves Canada. Singing the national anthem. What we're going to do is we're going to give basically the profile, the report card on a player, and then we decide if other folks are interested in that player based entirely off of that profile. Now, sometimes it may seem a little bit disingenuous because we're not giving the whole profile, but we also don't want to give away who the player is. So you don't want to like be like, this guy led the NFL in receiving touchdowns last year. Like, well, that would kind of give away the game. So I'll go ahead and start. Hello, Sharks.
Hello.
My name is Jeff, and I have a running back that I wanted to see if you folks might be interested in him. So there were 49 running backs last year who had at least 100 carries. This guy was 11th in explosive yards, 7th in success rate, 3rd in yards after contact per attempt. So a little bowling ball. Unfortunately, not very wiggly. Not forcing a lot of tackles missed. 37th, but that's not his profile. He's bowling ball. He's going straight ahead. You know what he's also doing? Scoring touchdowns. He had 2/3 of his team's carries inside the 5 last year, which was tied for 9th with a running back who was previously on his current team. He also put up the big numbers, 7th in rushing yards per game. His 4.77 yards per carry was a career high and over a yard higher than his 2024 campaign. Finished 7th in expected fantasy points last year. He is on an offense who is in the top 5 in the implied scoring ranks this year. That offense will be returning all their primary weapons from last year, And this running back is a late round three pick. Sharks, are we interested in this player?
Interested in a late third? I would say tentatively yes, but I think I'd need a little more information.
Tentatively yes. Mike, what do you think about this profile? Third in yards after contact per attempt, 2/3 of his team's carries inside the five, a top five offense.
Yeah, and a third rounder. That's not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, going in the late third.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I'm interested.
You're interested? All right, Walker, let me see. Let me see if I can find a couple more data points for you. So this guy had, 287 touches last year, over 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, 50 targets last year was his third lowest of the last three seasons, 51 targets. So he's a high target volume guy. He's had at least 50 in 4 of his 5 years in the NFL. Interested?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go on the yes side.
This is, do either of you have a guess as to who this might be?
I do.
Walker?
Well, Devontae who's yes? Williams?
Correct. Did the 13 touchdowns give it away?
No, it was the returning everybody in their skill core.
Oh, and their top five offense. And yes. The running back that he was tied with was Rico Dowdle, who had 2/3 of the Panthers carries inside the five last
See,
year.
I was thinking we were talking about Rico Dowdle for a little bit.
That's funny. They're the same guy. So Javonte Williams had a huge breakout last year. But a lot of it was kind of based around actually getting volume, because that was our big gripe with him in Denver. And actually going back to college, where he was sharing with, was it Michael Carter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He was sharing with Michael Carter. He was never a bell cow, but last year, 287 carries. It was his second time in his career over 287 touches, second time over 250. So Mike, with the knowledge that it's Javonte Williams, are you still interested in Javonte Williams in the late third round?
No.
Got him. All right, Walker, what about you?
Well, I have Javonte Williams as pick 37 right now, which is one pick out of the late third round. So I would have to say it's perfectly fine to take him there.
Walker's like, I won't take him with the first pick at the turn, but the second pick.
That second one?
Now we're cooking.
Delicious.
Oh, man. There was in my fantasy baseball league, it was actually strategic, your round 3-4 pick if you were picking at the turn, because the first three rounds of players, not eligible for keeping. So if you had the fourth round pick, you got your first choice of keeper eligible players, and people would screw it up every year. Every year, somebody would, whoever had the 12th pick would screw it up.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I'm like, I always remind people, I'm like, guys, don't forget, if you take them, you know, whoever you take in the third, you can't keep the guy in the fourth, you can. And then almost every year they were like, oh, damn it, I took him in the wrong order. I'm like, sorry, man, I don't know what to tell you.
Actually, I do. And I already did.
Yeah, I said, sucks to suck.
There you go.
Yeah, so, all right. Who wants to go next?
I nominate Mike.
Oh, damn. Never let him know your next move.
Oh, we were supposed to prepare players?
You didn't prepare players?
No, I did not.
Oh, boy. Mike's just a shark. Okay. Walker, I nominate you.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry. Let's see.
No, it's okay, good. Mike. That's fine. You can be permanent shark, because then you get to figure out who these players are with us.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So my first player is a quarterback I have brought to you, sharks. I hope you're having a good day, by the way.
Thank you. I'm a billionaire. I'm having a great day on the bones of the poor.
Yeah. Yeah. So this player threw 30 touchdowns last season, and yet he beat that touchdown percentage from last year in 2021, 2022, and 2023. He has continuity in his coaching staff and his weapons. Speaking of 2023, he did finish second in MVP voting that year. And if you want something more recent, in 2025, he led the entire NFL in completions. Yet he's only going as the quarterback 9, pick 85 overall. Sharks, are we interested in this player?
Uh, 30 touchdowns last year. May I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
What is his running like?
Well, he isn't the most prolific runner of all time, I will admit. He is more of a pocket passer, certainly. Has the ability to run, but kind of more in a like area type of thing. He doesn't run for a ton of touchdowns, but is perfectly capable of it. Yards per carry is usually in the 4 range. So he's not a statue, but he's not a runner either.
I am interested in this player, and I think I know who it is. In fact, I took him in a best ball draft today.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's very confident. Mike, would you be interested in this player?
I'm going to pass. I like my quarterbacks mobile.
Likes my quarterbacks mobile. That's entirely fair. I will respect your decision. We're going to go ahead.
I was going to reveal. I was going to guess.
Okay, go for it.
I took him to stack with George Pickens.
Correct. It is Dak Prescott.
Woo! Dakota, baby!
So, going QB9, pick 85. I have him QB4, pick 58. So, just flip that ADP. And, I feel like he is as well-positioned as any non-running quarterback to finish near the top of the position. He's constantly throwing for a ton of yards. He's constantly throwing for a lot of touchdowns. He has 2 elite weapons around him. The offensive line should be, should have more continuity this year. The running game is stable. He's very safe, and he's going in the 8th round. So I don't really see much downside there. I can understand, though, if you want more upside.
Yeah, he's Dak, Purdy, Goff, Trevor Lawrence is where I'm living, is that group. Like, they're all very similar to that profile where it's like a prolific offense that throws the ball a lot, doesn't run a lot, has some running to various degrees. Like, Trevor Lawrence is much more of a runner than Jared Goff, right? But also going in the back half of the QB1 ranks because they don't have that rushing. They're not as sexy. They are pushed down a little bit. That's kind of where I'm hunting for players.
Yeah, because, for example, I have Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow back-to-back in both the quarterback and overall rankings, yet Burrow is going, 3 to 4 rounds higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, Mike, with the knowledge that it's Dak Prescott, are you interested?
I am a little bit more interested than I was at first, just because I think Dak is probably pretty safe, even though he doesn't run. He's going to throw for a lot of touchdowns, has great weapons around him. A little bit worried about the running game. I don't know if Javonte Williams is going to be able to repeat last year, but they do have, as far as right now, good running back going in until proven otherwise. So that's still the case. I do feel a little bit better, but I'm still pass.
Okie dokie. All right. My guy, Sharks. Hello. I hope you're having my tidings of a good day are more sincere and thorough than Walker's. Hello.
Probably true.
Sharks, I have a wide receiver for you today, and I almost said his name. This wide receiver, last year there were 92 receivers who ran at least 92 routes. I'm sorry, let's try that again. 300 routes. 92 receivers who ran at least 300 routes. Yes. This guy was 10th in yards per route run last year. He is on a team that was 6th in passing rate over expectation last season. His quarterback this year is no doubt better than his quarterback last year. The team that he's on, the number one target had 120 targets, finished with 0.22 yards per route run and had 74 catches for 1,117 yards. But that receiver is nowhere near as good as this receiver. This receiver's yards per target went from 8.6 to back down to 8 in 2024 and 8.2 in 2023. So he took a step up last year. His career is 8.3. So not bad, not elite. He's decent. There is no number three viable pass catcher on this team. So high volume, he's taking over for a guy who gets a lot of targets. His yards per target are good, not elite. No doubt quarterback upgrade after ranking 10th in yards per route run last year. This guy is a round pick. Shark, are we interested
what
in
round
this
pick?
Play?
Sorry?
Four.
Round four pick. Honestly, no, I'm not interested.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not interested in either. Sounds like a marginal guy.
All right. Well, if I can sweeten the pot a little bit. 100 targets in three of the last four seasons and 1,000 yards from scrimmage in three of his five seasons.
Still feels like he's more of a round five or six pick than a round four pick.
Okay. So neither of you are interested?
No.
I think I'm going to be a little surprised. I think I know who it is, but I think I'm going to be surprised that he was so underwhelming to me.
Who do you think it is?
Jalen Waddle?
That is Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, and I have Waddle pick 44 overall right now, so that would be in the fourth round. Yeah, that might make me reevaluate Jalen Waddle a little bit.
He's everybody's talking about like he's going to be this huge target monster, but he's never done that. Mike, what do you think? All right, now that you know it's Jalen Waddle, are you interested?
Yeah, I'm more interested now than I was before. Mike. Yeah, I like Jalen Waddle. With Cortland Sutton there, it's I think Jalen Waddle this year, I'd probably rather have them both in Dynasty as well. So, yeah, I like Jalen Waddle.
All right, I got to ask you about this. Jalen Waddle or Javonte Williams?
Waddle.
Williams.
Okay. All right, so that's my second guy, Jalen Waddle. Walker, we're back to you. Who you got for us?
Well, I also have a wide receiver for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
This wide receiver, his team projects as the highest volume passing offense in the league in 2026, and he projects as the highest target getter in that offense. His team won more games immediately after starting to feature him, and you'll remember a while ago, I believe that was reminiscent of a certain Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not saying this guy's Amon-Ra St. Brown, just saying there are some similarities. He averaged 14.6 yards per catch in 2025, mainly running routes out of the slot. He is only 24 years old, and he is going as the wide receiver 33 and pick 69 nice overall.
Nice.
I personally believe that the projected number one target in a super high volume passing offense should be going higher than wide receiver 33. But, Sharks, are we interested in this player?
You said highest projected passing volume. Is that yards or attempts?
Attempts.
This is a Jags receiver. Because there's no 24-year-old on the Bengals who would be a high-volume pass offense. J-Mo's not the number one target. I don't know his age in Detroit. It's not Travis Hunter. Oh, it's BTJ. And I'm interested in BTJ. Is it BTJ? Oh, I blew God. It. Don't answer. Mike, sorry.
Mike. All right.
Sorry, I got too far in my head.
It's okay.
I did stream of consciousness. I forgot either of you was there.
You still might be wrong. It might not be BTJ.
That's true.
If it is, then yes. If it's not, then no.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it's not Brian Thomas Jr.
It's Parker Washington. He's 24.
It's Parker Washington.
He is. I just Googled Parker Washington age.
Yes, it is Parker Washington. I fully believe he will be the number one target in this offense. That's been the drumbeat out of camp, just like it was for most of last season. As we saw, whether you think it was wristband Trevor Lawrence or Parker Washington becoming the number one target in the offense, or both, or the arrival of Jacoby Myers forcing everybody into a slightly different role that worked better for the offense's health as a whole, I think that combination was clearly correct, and I don't think Liam Cohen is stupid enough to go away from it. So I have Parker Washington, wide receiver 26, pick 56 in my current rankings, which is slightly over a round earlier than he's going. I think you can make a really nice stack for reasonably low cost out of Jeff's flag plant quarterback Trevor Lawrence and his number one receiver Parker Washington.
And I, you know what, you said he ran primarily out of the slot. This is my fault. People screaming at their iPods, because people are still downloading this onto iPods, mind you.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's probably got to be a top 40 way that people listen to this podcast.
100%. Actually, people are putting it on their Zune. They're downloading it from the website onto a micro SD card, putting that on the Zune.
If anyone is doing that, you have to come. You have to like write in it. Let us know.
Come clean. footballabsurdity@gmail.com. Come clean.
That's right.
I'm more interested now knowing that it's Parker Washington. Mike, are you more interested now knowing that it's Parker Washington?
Yeah, especially if he's going to be the number one guy. I still see that offense being split in those three ways. So even if he is the number one guy, it's a 1A, 1B, 1C kind of situation. So I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. We have breaking news. Emergency podcast.
Oh, boy.
The Atlanta Falcons. We really liked Bijan Robinson because Tyler Algier was gone. They signed a contender to the throne, Trey Sermon, folks. Trey Sermon, former third-round pick, Colts and 49ers Colts legend.
49ers legend. I'm very glad that he hasn't completed the trifecta.
Perfect. All right, let's go back to mine. My guy, Sharks, hello. I have a quarterback for you today. And okay. I'm not talking a refund. All right. Among quarterbacks with 150 dropbacks last year, including the playoffs, is that by chance a hint? This is this quarterback's rank. Rank. Rank? Rank is not a word.
Rank.
Eighth in yards per game. Seventh in red zone pass attempts. Eighth in touchdowns per game. Third in end zone targets. Third lowest drop rate, but that might change. Was QB6 in fantasy points per game from week 6 to the end of the season. He is the team's QB1. He was a top 12 quarterback in 75% of his starts last year, and he only had one game outside of the top 14. He's currently going outside the top 180 picks. Sharks, Lord, are we interested in this quarterback?
Yeah, definitely.
Mike, are you interested in this quarterback?
I am.
Folks, it's Jake Brissett.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
It's Jake Brissett, everybody. Can you tell that I did this one during the... Actually, no, I did it before the Hall of Fame game. I was thinking of redoing it during the Hall of Fame game, and then I was like, wait, Carson Beck is chewing up against future insurance salesmen. We knew he could do that. So how do we feel about Jacoby Brissett, just looking at the resume? the resume.
I mean, I obviously the big risk is that Arizona is like 2-8 through 10 games and they just go to Carson Beck because the rest of the games don't matter. But while Brissett probably won't be a difference maker for your fantasy playoffs, he doesn't have to be when he's free. So in any type of super flex league, he is the best QB3 on the board. It's not even close. And you could even get away with him as your QB2 at least for half the season. I know it's going to be a slightly different offense, but I still feel like with the weapons he's got around him with Jeremiah Love addition at this point, I don't think he'll continue to be top 12 75% of the time, but I think you can reasonably expect around half the time. And that is a much better player than outside the top 180 picks.
Yeah. All right, Mike, Jake Brissett, are you in? Are you all in, pushing in all your chips?
Yeah, you have to like what he did last year a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's always sort of performed. He didn't perform as well as he did as a Colt, but he's gotten better. And I really enjoy watching him play. He's always energetic and fun. When he was a Colt, he would celebrate defensive touchdowns and stuff like that. And just a really good guy. So I like him. But what Walker said, the negatives is as far as in, as he mentioned, Jeff, the team being a bad team and mm-hmm. wanting to turn to Carson Beck is definitely real as well.
Yeah, this isn't an all-season proposition, but what did Jacoby Brissett do best last year? He turned it on in garbage time, right? He was the garbage man.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me if you think there'll be garbage times in these games to start the year. The Chargers.
Maybe.
The Seahawks.
Probably.
The 49ers.
Maybe.
The Giants, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Mike, you ready for this? Walker's going to say yes.
The Lions.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, baby. So much garbage time. Drew Petzing revenge game.
The Rams.
Yes.
The Broncos.
Probably not.
I think the Broncos defense is going to smother.
I think it'll, if it's garbage time, I think it's going to be because it's like 17-3.
That's fair. The Cowboys.
Yeah, good chance.
The Seahawks and the Cardinals again. The Chiefs.
It's possible. Maybe. I mean, maybe, yeah. Maybe and not. Then, right. And then the problem is you're 2-9 at this point, and then Carson Beck's coming in.
Yeah. And then, but check this out. Check out this playoff schedule. Check this out. If Carson Beck doesn't come in, check out this playoff schedule. Jets, Saints, Raiders.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacoby Brissett is playing at the end of the season, that's very intriguing.
Yeah, I think whoever your Cardinals quarterback is going to be very intriguing in those 3 weeks. And that's what's wild about like Best Ball Bros being like, oh, I'm not drafting the Cardinals quarterbacks. It's like, brother, they're free and they're going to be absolute shootouts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you might, if you're a Best Ball Bro, what you should be doing is taking a quarterback reasonably early. And then just taking both Cardinals quarterbacks at the end of the draft.
Josh Allen double quarterback or double Cardinal stack?
Yes, 100%.
Ooh, folks, you're hearing it more and more.
I don't know what I'm doing on best ball. Don't listen to me.
I was slow draft going during, like, I have a bunch of them going, but one was going during the Hall of Fame game, and somebody took Carson Beck in like the 15th round. I was like, brother, come on, man, relax.
You gotta chill out, man.
You got to chill, man. You got to call the number, dude. If you're making any decisions based off of this game.
Making my best ball decisions off of the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, you, even though it's low stakes, you probably might need to call the number on a precautionary basis.
Yeah. Putting in all my offseason fab on that guy that caught the pass and then got lit up. I don't even know who that was on the Cardinals. Some dude.
Who knows?
I think he's the guy we just
find out, actually.
Yeah. It's actually illegal. Andre Bacelia. Is Andy Isabella back?
It could be, definitely.
All right.
Sherfield.
Oh my God, 49ers legend. Let's see what Andy Isabella is doing. Andy Isabella is... He's in Canada.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
Ottawa Red Blacks.
Shout out to him. That, like I said, that actually makes sense.
Do you know what his last NFL team was if he never goes back?
Andy Isabella? Was it the Detroit Lions?
Nope. Your.
Okay.
San Francisco 49ers.
Really? I had no idea.
Well, that's because he was signed on July 31st and cut on August 5th.
Ah.
Well, my man didn't even make it 1 week. He got that prorated paycheck. Hey, man, here's 6 days worth of pay. All right, Walker, let's take it home. Your last dude.
My last dude, and this is a real dude, I'll tell you that. I have a tight end for you. The only tight end we've discussed today. This player earned 5+ targets in each of his final 12 games in 2025. He finished his rookie campaign with 2 consecutive games of 90 yards and a touchdown. He's the projected number one target getter on his team, as the top receiver on his team is already injured.
Mm.
He put up 58 catches, 713 yards, and 6 touchdowns as a 21-year-old first-year player. And he's currently pretty expensive, I will say. He is going as the tight end 3, pick 41 off the board.
Oh.
Are we interested in this player, Sharks?
I know who it is, just because I have ADP sickness.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I am interested in him. Price is a little high for me. The profile is nice. Price is a little high. I know Michael hate him. Mike's a sworn enemy.
Yeah, Mike has to be the biggest Tyler Warren booster on earth because of reasons, of course. And this is not Tyler Warren. I'm sorry, Mike.
Damn.
Have you considered his last 16 quarters, though?
I was really chopping up those. I was really chopping up each drive, going through, and I found out that that shit's meaningless, and you should just go with the stats that are on the page.
I don't know, Scott Barrett, the most annoying guy in fantasy football from a takes perspective, said that I should chop up his last 16 quarters.
More like bot Scarrett.
Do you know what he said?
No.
He said, on the history of the NFL, Tyreek Hill had a greater impact than Jerry Rice.
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
No, he didn't.
I'm going to fist fight him.
He's just saying stuff.
He's just yapping. All right, speaking of yapping, Mike, are you interested in Colson Loveland? No, I want Tyler Warren.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Tyler Warren.
Alec Pierce.
How do you feel about Colson Loveland, Walker?
I think that he is going to absolutely smash this season. I think he's Caleb Williams' most trusted target on the roster. He is pretty much unstoppable on outbreaking routes, especially when he's matched up against linebackers. 6'6", 240 with his type of athleticism, his ability to high point the ball. It's just a really hard cover. And with the amount of targets there's a lot of vacated targets with DJ Moore. They don't have anybody behind Burden and Odunze in the receiver room, and Burden's already banged up. Odunze's never been efficient in his first 2 seasons. Loveland was in 1. I think he's going to be the true number one target in an offense that will throw the ball a reasonable amount and with a quarterback who's talented. I currently have him as tight end 2 and pick 23.
Who's he ahead of?
McBride.
Mm. I too have dropped McBride out of my top spot the more I think about it, but not all the way to 3.
Yeah, I have. Basically those 3 tight ends are way ahead of everybody else, because I have Bowers as a mid-second, Loveland as a 2-3 turn, and McBride as a mid-third.
2-3 turn, wow. Okay.
I think he is going to absolutely explode this season. I think he's going to turn into he's going to be the guy everyone's going to take tight end one next year, and he's going to be in a void.
That's kind of why I've moved. I was driving to work and I was like, you know, what's probably a good bet is tight end one last year, not repeating. That's why I like mentally was like, all right, I'm gonna move Bowers to one. And
it usually doesn't. And I feel like it's going to be like Loveland, like he might like eke out tight end one over Bowers this year or something, or just finish behind him. And everybody's gonna be like, oh my God, Colston Loveland's going to have 160 targets next year. And he's not going to do that. But he is extremely good and probably going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Sharks, let's take it home. I got one last guy on offer for you, Sharks.
Wow.
His last season's tight end 8. He had 4 top 4 finishes and 10 top 12 finishes. Last year, he was 3rd in first read targets and 9th in first read target share. His team passed the ball at a top 5 rate last year, which was shocking to me. I didn't expect that. Last year, he was 5th in reception, 6th in catch rate, 3rd in receiving yards, and 5th in yak. He does have room to grow, as his unrealized air yards were 11th. And these are some statistics among tight ends with at least 300 routes. He was 8th in ADOT, 3rd in total air yards behind just McBride and Pitts, 7th in yards per route run, 4th in yards per target, 8th in missed tackles forced per reception. Unfortunately, he did only have 7 red zone targets and 1 end zone target, and his team did add a high-profile wide receiver. This guy is a round 12 pick, despite being top 10 in every statistic that I gave you. Sharks, are we interested in this tight end?
Yeah, I think you have to be.
Yeah, I agree.
And his quarterback is Mike's flag plant quarterback.
Oh, Big Juwan.
Big Juwan. I was shocked when I was going through all these numbers. I was like, damn, Juwan Johnson kind of destroyed the league last year just a little bit.
He had a lot of targets. I worry that he won't have that many targets again because of Jordan Tyson.
That is the discussion I wanted to have was, do we think his targets and everything just falls out because of Jordan Tyson?
Not completely, but I don't foresee him having like almost 100 again. I would think it'll probably fall more in the 80 range, which he can still be a really good streamer on that volume. I think his price is probably pretty reasonable. I think he's absolutely a draftable tight end, but I wouldn't have him as one of my priority guys.
He's a fallback blob guy for me.
Yeah, whereas his ceiling in the blob is a little higher because the target volume, but his floor is reasonably safe. He just doesn't have like the blowout potential because of the lack of end zone targets.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you wanted a blowout potential guy at the end of a draft, you'd probably rather take like a Rondae Gadsden or Kenyon Sadiq or something. But if you want like somebody who is going to be guaranteed to get you like some points, I would say like Juwan or Dalton Schultz are probably your end of draft guys.
Yeah. They're like young Hunter Henrys.
Yeah. I mean, Dalton Schultz is like 30.
Well, yeah. I was more thinking Juwan is a young Hunter.
I think he's like 29.
What? No, no way. Hold on. Let's find out. All right. This is enthralling. Radio.
Enthralling radio. Juwan Johnson age. Parker Washington age.
Juwan Johnson age. 20. Oh, he turned 29. 30 this season. Oh my God. Folks, that's a little preview of Chopter Unk, folks. Because guess what? Juwan Johnson is Unk. Not chopped, but Unk, I think.
He's getting there, folks. As of September 13th, he will be Unk.
Yeah. Call me a Ted Allen and it's the end of the episode because, folks, he's chopped. The hit, Food Network TV show Chopped.
Indeed. That's a good show.
It is a good show. A great show. Mike, you ever watch Chopped?
No.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's great hotel viewing.
Oh man. That's perfect hotel viewing. Mike, are you familiar with the premise of Chopped?
No.
Oh my God, wow. Mike. Okay. All right, we're gonna close the episode on Chopped Discord.
Chop chat.
So what it is it's a cooking show, but I think it's three rounds, and each round the chefs, they can cook whatever they want, right? But they have a mystery basket in front of them that has four ingredients. They all have the same four ingredients, and they have to utilize them in their dishes. And sometimes it'll be like peanut butter, Sour Patch Kids, you know, just like random things, and you have to make a dish out of it. And it's usually like, sometimes it'll be like, the last one's always dessert, I think.
It's the appetizer, entree, and dessert.
Yes, appetizer, entree, dessert. So they have to theme it, and each round has a basket with four mystery ingredients in it, and they're always wild. And so you get some really psycho things that people make. They'll be like, you know, this is like my grilled salmon with lemon meringue pie glaze and stuff like that. Just like real psycho shit. Great show. Walker's correct. Perfect hotel viewing. Because you can tune out for 10 minutes and come back in and you'll be like, what the hell are they making?
Yeah, it's also extremely good viewing when you're like super baked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're like, low-key, I would try that.
Yeah, you're basically just looking at everything that comes up like, I don't know, man, I think that looks pretty good.
That might work. I would definitely recommend checking out an episode of Chopped. Because Kate and I used to, like, because it was on all day on Food Network, we would, like, record it and watch, like, four episodes a night, like, every night.
That's good stuff.
That's how you do it. Yeah, that's how you do it. All right. So, speaking of Chopped, next week we're going to do, it's going to be two-parter in the episode. It's going to be Does This Matter? Talking about preseason week one, and Chopped or Unk. It's finally coming, folks. So, we'll be back next week with Chopped or Unk and Does This Matter? So, for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
I was holding in a burp. I've told you both my Red Bull and Benadryl story, right?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. How have I never told either of you this story? Okay. So it was New Year's Eve. Let's see. We were in the two bedroom apartment. So it was 2016 to 2017. And but the same buddy who we were trying to make the sandwich that gets you drunk. He was like, we're going to have a seafood boil. And so we were doing seafood boil stuff. And I was like, all right, man, what do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? Because he taught me to cook. And so I was always like his little prep chef, his sous chef in the kitchen in college. And I was like, all right, what do you need me to do? And he was like, oh, I need you to clean these shrimp. And I was like, you got it, mister. And then I cleaned them. And then I remembered my skin, for whatever reason, is very allergic to shrimp. I break out in hives. I can eat cooked shrimp fine. I can't touch raw shrimp. So I'm like, oh shit, what do I do? So the friend group included a pharmacist and a nurse. And so they were like, take some Benadryl. And the nurse works weird hours. And she's like, I got Benadryl because she uses it to sleep. And I was like, perfect. I took the Benadryl. And then after I took it, I was like, wait a second. Doesn't this make you drowsy? Isn't it 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve? And it was like, yeah. And I was like, I know what I should do. Chug Red Bulls. And then I spent the whole night going between like, basically like grinding to a halt and being super active. I have a distinct memory of eating dinner and trying to like reach for my food. And it's like in dreams when you try to punch and you like, can't do it. I have a distinct memory of doing that, like trying to reach for my food and not being able to. And then around 4 o'clock in the morning, the NyQuil finally wore off and the Red Bull had me. And I was the only one awake at that point because everybody else had partied themselves out. And I had been basically either asleep or caffeinated for 10 hours at that point.
And that's good, right?
And that's good. And that's what you're going for.